RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Joe, I was just curious your perspective on the 2-point play yesterday, just kind of what went into that and just, the communication before the play.
We always kind of talk going into the game, having ideas of, the type of 2-point plays we want. There's obviously different type of ones going into the game. Is there got to have a 2-point plays? Is it, hey, just is the one from the one from the two? We had a couple plays in mind downside of the red. You know, we showed one look and, they called the timeout and, we talked about, hey, if we felt like this other one would have been better and, we communicated and Josh loved the look. It's obviously one that I want back, that we all want back. And, ball in our best player's hands, good things are going to happen. I just got to make sure I'm looking at it, making sure I'm putting him in the best position to have success, on that play. And, but it shouldn't have got to that play.
Kind of to follow up on that last part, what this offense is capable of. What was Philadelphia doing that kind of kept you guys from scoring until late in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're obviously a really good defense. They're, Super Bowl defense, playoff defense, right? But we're a playoff offense also. And, we weren't efficient last night staying ahead of the schedules. And we had a lot of drives that stalled, once we got to the logo and the fringe area. And we had some opportunities once we got in the red zone. And, we had a turnover, we take a sack and we left a lot of points out on the board and against good defenses. And, you're going to have to sustain those drives and be able to stay ahead of this chains and to be able to get those points. And look, they're obviously really good, do a really good job, up front and have an elite pass rush. And when you're living off schedule, it makes it tough, but I didn't think, we didn't do the simple well. And, there's no reason we should ever go quarters, much less halves, much less three quarters, not scoring points. And, so obviously yesterday was not acceptable. And that always will start and end with me.
When there is a performance that you feel is not acceptable, or you mentioned just the not doing the simple, what is the difference between that happening in week 17 versus happening, earlier in the season, like the timeline for making corrections and everything?
Yeah, I think it's, you obviously never want them to happen, but you can always look at them from two perspectives. You can look at it from a perspective of, okay, hey, or stuff showed up, and I'd much rather it show up now than show up in 2 weeks, and us have this feeling that we're having right now that ends our season. And so, again, you don't ever want it to happen, but We have a lot of time on task to hope that we can self-correct and making sure that our process is in the right direction. You know, did we handle the past week the right way? You know, was the play calls, was our execution, you know, were we putting players in position to have success? But I think whether it's week two or week 17, you don't ever want it to happen. But when it happens, making sure that you're handling it the right way. We have the right character, the guys that I think their approach and their mindset. You know, I felt like they, I didn't have to say a lot today and they knew kind of how we played, but you know, it was, to get to where we ultimately want to be, I think we had to have the meetings we had today.
Hey Joe, I want to ask you a little bit about, protection schemes. And when you're facing an elite pass rush, whether that's from the edge or, you know, interior, like they had yesterday, you have to make decisions, right? Five man versus six man. It's easy for us to look at and go, well, if you go six man, that's one less guy in the route, right? You have five man, that's one more guy in the route. From your perspective, how much do you have to think about that when it comes to even, you know, stress points along the offensive line, I guess you'd say, and all the different things that go into how many guys are out in the route and what that does to the quarterback and how that changes the perspective from him? I'm hoping my question makes sense when you have to think about all that.
Yeah, it makes a lot. And I think there's a lot, obviously a lot jam packed into that one. And some of that could be a schematic, you know, advantage for me, kind of what, you know, some of my thought process, but the reality of it is, whether you're in five man or six man pro, there's always ways to break it down. There's always going to be one-on-one matchups. You can try to get slides and, there's different types of D lines that you're going against. Is it elite on the edge? Is it elite inside? What are the different ways that you can help with that? I think sometimes there's in certain situations, sometimes quarterbacks, you want to have a healthy mix of both. And we know our issues and our answers when you're in five man pro and you look like you're caught off guard. That's when, you know, it looks like bad football, and that's the stuff that we got to fight against. I think when you're going against a really good D line, sometimes five man and six man might not necessarily make the difference, as opposed to, hey, when they are bringing the linebackers, are we throwing hot? Do we have the halfbacks in protection? You know, there's a difference of five man and six man from that perspective compared to, hey, do you have a tight end chipping that might help an edge rush or something like that? So there's obviously way more into it that, you know, probably in the offseason I can kind of dive a little more into it with a lot more football to go. But, it is something that we look at every single week, seeing, hey, what can we do? There's a lot of times we're six man pro that get the five man pro and vice versa. So I think that the biggest thing is to make sure you got a healthy mix of the two.
I think if you go back to the New England game, I believe I'm right. I think you even have a seven man pro in the first play that went down to Brandon. I mean, I know you guys didn't connect on the pass, but in that situation, I mean, you're scheming something up, but you also have a receiver that you're going to count on to beat one-on-one too, right? Which he did on that play. But I mean, how much of that goes into it? Hey, if we're going to have less guys, we got to have a guy also that can make sure he can beat one-on-one like Brandon did on that play.
Yeah. The more you keep in protection, the less you have in routes, but the more you have in protection, if they aren't bringing a lot, there's might have two or three guys out in routes and they might have, you know, five, six, seven guys, you know, in coverage. And so there's a healthy mix of it all. You don't want to live in any one. You want to make sure that you're mixing it up. And you want to make sure you're calling it the right times it's working. And, you know, we have a lot of the tools in our toolbox and making sure that we're getting to it when we need to. And, but at the end of the day, we don't want to be throwing hot.
Right.
There's a time and a place where I do think there's a time and a place where you're okay with throwing hot, but certain situational third downs, you don't want to be living in a hot game. And so some of those things I got to do a better job. We have to do a better job of cleaning that up to be more efficient where we're not living in those worlds.
Actually, Sal just brought up the play to Brandon in the Patriots game, the one that you guys did not connect on. And then there was also one in the Browns game. But yesterday he made, you know, a couple big catches for you guys, especially down the field. He's played in the league for so long. You know, he doesn't need to convince anybody that he can play. Obviously, the production has been there for a long time. But him being able to do that, what does that allow your offense to do? And what does that open up, I guess, in the intermediate and short passing game?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a reason we obviously brought him here, and it wasn't just to open it up and stretch it down the field. I know he's had some of those opportunities. There's so much more to Brandon Cooks' game, you know, in the locker room, out on the field, all of that. It was good to obviously connect on that was a huge play, you know, hoping that it would be a spark. It obviously, it wasn't early in the game. It ended up being later in the game. But his energy, his juice just on the football field, regardless of whether he's running a deep or running a 5-yard route, he helps us when he's out on the football field. You know, he's doing dirt, he's doing things in the run game. So he's, he was a huge get for us. And obviously we weren't connecting on that in, the last few weeks. And I know, but his approach hasn't changed, and my faith and confidence in him, didn't waver. And you can clearly show that Josh didn't either. And he had an opportunity yesterday and, made a lot of plays. And, it obviously didn't translate to the scoreboard, but, you hope that it's something that we continue to build upon.
And then he has so much success over the course of his career. Tyrell is still a player who's very young in the opportunities. Hasn't been a ton of them in the actual passing game. So for him to step up the way he did yesterday, just how cool is that on a personal level to see somebody who puts in the work make a big play in a big moment like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's Shaves, right? That's, you feel like when the ball goes his way, good things happen, right? I know that's one Josh would love to probably have back. I think he'll be the first to admit he kind of bypassed the game on a little easy completion, but, shows the trust he has in Shaves to be able to give him an opportunity, and Shaves go up and make an incredible ball in an incredible corner. And, but that's kind of who Shaves is. He kind of makes football plays. And, I know he wasn't a big free agent gets, or he wasn't a high draft pick, but he just goes out there and does his job. And, he's accountable to the offense. And, I think the 10 guys in the huddle with him are so appreciative of him. And he just deserves all the opportunities that he gets.
Obviously a frustrating game for Josh yesterday. He looked pretty frustrated at the end of it. And you go back and you look at some of the, as I'm sure you guys did on tape, were you alarmed at all at how many plays it felt like maybe there were some open guys that Josh just didn't see?
Look, I think if there's ever those that show up on tape, I got to make sure I'm doing a better job throughout the week. The intent of the plays, the thought process. Sometimes there's guys that are open that might not be the first read. And, I think from a big picture view, it's like, hey, why didn't the ball go there? Was there maybe some opportunities yesterday that I think maybe the ball could go there? Yes. But I also don't have guys rushing in my face, and it's easy for me to kind of see it from the press box, but, I'm always going to trust Josh. You guys know that. And if the ball's not, if he's not finding completions, then I got to make sure I'm doing a better job of, the intent of installing and, or calling it. And, I have no faith that me and him are on the same page. I have no question that me and him are on the same page that, to get to where we need to be, we'll be more locked at the hip.
And then you take a look at, the sacks this year, how many times he's been hit, and you start to think about, week to week, what's kind of the cause of this. And I found it interesting going back and listening to the game. Tom Brady was pretty critical of Josh pre-snap. Has he been doing a good enough job, maybe setting protections and all the responsibilities before the snap to maybe mitigate some of the hits or sacks that he's taken?
Yeah. I think Josh does an elite job in the protection game. And like there's obviously some sacks that you look at the third and third down, Josh running around, it's kind of same thing happened with the with the Browns game. That sack is on him, and he'll admit that. Through and through, there's some that, there's hits that you're going to have to sit in the pocket. And look, he took a huge hit on the big throw to Cooksey, and you don't want that, your quarterback getting hit. And I got to make sure I'm doing a good job, a good enough job of where those aren't showing up. But I think Josh is doing a great job pre-snap, getting the protection when they need to get to, if there is some protection, there's always going to be some protections broken down. And when they are, I got to make sure that, is it offensive line? Is it running back? Is it quarterback? Is it scheme? What is the why? Making sure that we're solving that in game, because once stuff shows up on tape, it's something that's going to continue to show up. And but I think Josh is doing a great job pre-snap. It's now about making sure we're making the decisions, we're protecting it up front, and we're all on the same page up front, to be able to then get the ball where it needs to get to.
Picking up kind of where Matt left off, what do you attribute the rise in sacks this year to? So different than last year. Like, why do you think Josh has taken so many sacks this season?
I mean, I think it's a combination of there's a combination. I don't think there's any one reason. I think we can start with play calling, right? Let's just put it on me. I think there's a lot of things. There's no, just like last season, you'd say, hey, why is there the least sacked team? It wasn't strictly only because of the offensive line. There's a lot of different elements. And so I don't think you can say, hey, we're getting sacked much. It's only on the offensive line or it's only on this. There's, when you look at all of our, one of our sacks yesterday was we had a sack fumble on the naked that, with the Josh, whether he threw it or, so some of those things that kind of go putting down his sacks. But yeah, he's getting hit. And if he's getting hit, it's because I'm allowing him to get hit. Right. And so I think the biggest thing is, regardless of looking at the why and what's the difference of last year, is I got to make sure I'm doing a better job of not putting guys in positions that they shouldn't be in.
I asked you this last week, but I wanted to ask it again just because Sean said that Josh's soreness in his foot came up again yesterday. Did you change at all your play calling or anything like that because Josh was kind of feeling that injury a bit more during the game?
I think it was a little, maybe yesterday was a little different, he was hobbling a little bit, but once the adrenaline got going again, look at the last drive of the game, he's running away from Jalen Phillips, right? So it was just constant communication with him about how he's feeling, how it's going. Once Josh is out there, I gotta just trust that if he's out there, he's 100%, and good things will happen.
So Sean kind of talked about how sometimes you have to protect Josh from himself in a way, just because, like you said, he's going to want to be out there. He wants to play clearly. Like, do you at all I know you just said like you assume he's 100% if he's out there, but do you at all have to factor that in, being like, I might not want to call this play because I know he's kind of dealing with this right now, even if he's like, I'm good, like that sort of thing?
No, absolutely. Like, and look, we got to have the constant communication, but you also got to see what you with your own eyes, how things, people look. And fortunately, I've been with Josh for so long that, just by some answers from him, I know what that means. And I know when he's in a good place, I know if he's hurting, I know if he feels fine. And, indications as we were going yesterday is he was good to go. And, and I just got to continue to do a better job putting him in those positions where he's not having to worry about those things.
Hey, Joe, I think we talked about this some around this time last year, but, going into week 18, there are some guys with incentives on the line. James Cook could secure the rushing title if he, stays where he's at. I know you guys want to win the game, first of all, and starters are still being determined, but how does that impact what you do from your standpoint when, guys are playing for some of those things?
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if at this point in the week, I really don't know about any of those right now, especially coming off of, the performance we just had. I want to make sure that our process is where it needs to be going in, this week, and, that we're doing the right things and we're thinking about the right things and the right mindset and finding ways to get a win this week. Like I said, I don't know, Coach McDermott's mindset or anything like that, but I'm assuming we're having the mindset that we're going out there and we're going to do what we have to do. And if I find out about guys' incentives or anything like that, and it can help us win, but I have to call the game with the mindset of putting our guys in position to win, and everything else will take care of itself.
What does Brandon Cooks bring to the team? I noticed that you guys seem to try to get him into the game right away. Get a ball thrown to him early in these last few games. What is it that Brandon Cooks brings to the team?
I think off the field, he brings the professionalism and the work ethic and the approach that you want to be around. He has great energy, doesn't care about anything else besides trying to find ways to help our team win football games, and doesn't care if he's out on the field and running 100 yards is full speed to open somebody else up, or if he's going to get an opportunity, that's all he cares about. And that helps when you bring in a vet of his that's been doing it for as long as he can or as long as he has. And, he brings a lot of juice. He has big playability. The ball in his hands, good things happen. And I got to continue to find ways to get the ball in his hands.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.